Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we examine this year's model.
If this year was 1978. Thank you for the bottle, sir. All right, Patrick, we are here with day two of...
Yes, we are.
Let me see if I can say it like Ryan Shore.
Okay.
Elvis Costello week.
Close.
Nah, not as good, though.
Not as sonorous.
Yes. We are at Mike Snyder's house. Thanks for letting us stay here, Mike.
Lovely home.
Glad to have you.
You're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And I'm feeling a little bit better today because Mike handed me this...
We were a little logy yesterday, but I think we're getting on the right track now.
Yeah, now I'm starting to perk up because I have right here something called a Hopwork Orange.
Very clever.
A Hopwork Orange. It's orange-infused IPA from Blue Mountain Brewery.
Blue Mountain.
So let's talk about this year's model.
1978, March of 1978. So... couple things about this one that I'll throw out to you guys. One, this was when I began to realize how prolific of a songwriter Elvis really was and how good the songs were. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, take this comment for what it is in context. It wasn't like a Guided by Voices thing where... you might listen to it at times and say, there's no way they would ever play that song live. Like, that's something they just captured, like, on a load, you know, in the studio. Like, that's just a jam they did. Like, they couldn't reproduce that. But these were fully written out songs that were in the guy's repertoire, you know, and that kind of blew my mind.
I just read today that until, I think, Imperial Bedroom, which was 82, right? That apparently Imperial Bedroom was the first album that came out where none of the songs had been performed live before the studio versions were cut.
How interesting.
So all these early records, a lot of these songs would sort of get worked out on stage before they went into the studio. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of, I think you start to see it with this year's model and more with Armed Forces, where Elvis was a full-time musician now and they were touring. So a lot of the writing was taking place in hotel rooms and sound checks, and they were working songs out like that.
Well, there's, and some of the homework I did on this, I one of the reviewers said that he basically had all these songs on this year's model already, and they
My
Aim Is True, and you're like, you know, you could arguably say, I mean, actually, Rolling Stone, I think, put this year's model on 98 of their 500 top albums of all time, way, you know, above My Aim Is True. I mean, you could argue about it forever, but I mean, these, just like you, as you said, I mean, he's prolific. And he's also prolific with good stuff.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because I was going to say, if, you know, you were going to come and take away all my Elvis Costello albums except for one, you were going to leave me one, I would say you got to leave me this year's model. This would probably be the one I would say leave.
I was going to say the same kind of thing. I was going to say, after this career he's had for 40 years, I think album number two is probably the standout album. It's one is where, like, sort of everything about it is just right.
It's incredible too, and you know, as Mike said, it's kind of amazing to think that he had all those songs at the time of the first album, and then he, you know, and then this is what your follow up is. Most bands struggle mightily to
make
that second
album. The sophomore
album
is usually the trouble problem.
It's the hard one because you have your whole life to write your first one, and then you got 6 months to write your second one. Not the case with this man. No.
Well, and the other great addition here is, like, right after that first album, he got the band The Attractions, which that first album, I mean, it has a great feel to it, and it's got a great pop and punch and everything, but when you start listening to this album right after that one, you know, as probably you guys did in preparation for this to kind of refresh your memory, it's got such much more physicality to it.
And I think that's what really pushes it over the top. I think the songwriting is every bit as good on this album as the debut album, but the performances are just, you know, a half notch or a full notch better.
Yeah.
And it's really just it's really just almost a perfect album, you know.
And you know, for me, Jim, it explodes out of the gate right on the very first song. You hear it here in the drums, the organ, the attack of the bass, and just listen to the first four lines of this song, No Action, and how can you not smile, be blown away, but also just like totally rocking out, man? I mean, this is just a ferocious, incredible song. I don't want to
kiss you, I don't want to touch. I don't want to see you because I don't miss you that much. I'm not a telephone junkie. I told you that we were just good friends. But when I hold you like I hold that baker light in my hands, there's no action. She's got everything you need. It's a shame that he didn't bring them. I'm not a telephone junkie. If I'm uncertain, my thought, I'm doing just fine. Then the things in my head start hurting my mind. And I think about the way things used to be. Knowing you would feel this, driving me crazy. Sometimes I phone you and I know you're not lonely, but I always disconnect it in time. There's no action.
All right, better cut it off or I'm going to play the whole song.
I know, man. Right? We're almost there. What an incredible tune. And Mike said yesterday something about Elvis's enunciation and the way he pronounced things. The way he pronounces, I don't miss you that much, you know, and just lets that much kind of spit and linger right there is incredible. And the other line that always did it for me in this song and still does, when the things in my head start hurting my mind, is just an incredible, you know, sentiment. Like really in this song, the band gets established. You have those background vocals that you didn't really have on the first album. They're kind of layered, right? There's actual harmony singing going on back there. And the themes here of empty relationships, right? Frustration, even though you know you might be in a relationship, how that could be so incredibly frustrating and empty. And you know that those things kind of carry through, that not everything is what it seems, and you know, life can be bitter at times, and just sets the tone.
So two things real quickly I want to ask you, Patrick. One is, you know, you said this is the first track on the album and it just explodes.
Yeah,
right? You know, 2 minutes of just pop.
Drums are just firing,
genius,
in,
you know?
There. Yep.
It's real like power pop, I mm-hmm. think. So to Mike's point, you know, he got this great band, The Attractions. Steve, how do you pronounce his last name?
Steve Naive.
Naive?
I don't know how you say it.
Okay.
He plays the keyboards.
On keyboards. And we mentioned that a lot of Elvis's songs are sort of keyboard, you know, based or driven. Bruce Thomas on bass. Yeah. And then Pete Thomas on drums. Yep. And Pete Thomas, to this day, known as one of the great drummers. And you can hear it.
That's right.
Right there.
Yeah.
They're so tight. They play with such energy. They play just, you know, a little bit ahead of the beat, which mm-hmm. is definitely a, you know, sort of a punk thing.
Yep.
And, you know, it just, you're right. It just like explodes. You know, when you hear these songs, man, they just come at you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So there was that. And then the other thing I want to ask you, though, in terms of the songwriting, knowing that you're a big Dylan fan, uh-huh. how would you compare Elvis Costello as a songwriter to Bob Dylan?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think that they wrote in similar styles in a lot of ways, right? Because the wordplay and sort of the way they put things together in a rock context, especially Dylan at his Blonde on Blonde, you know, Highway 61 peak, right? Although I will say Elvis is more direct, I think, than Dylan was. Dylan loved to sort of use code words and like cloak things in metaphor and that were kind of mysterious. But Elvis was pretty good at coming right out and saying what was on his mind. Although I think we'll hear when we talk tomorrow where he used some really clever words to, you know, talk about political situations.
Right.
But the personal really gets laid out pretty bare in his writing.
That's right. But a lot of the kind of anger and bitterness
totally
comes through, right?
And
the same way with Dylan.
Mm-hmm, especially about relationships. And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think with both those guys, when there's certain phrases that come out, they you could feel the emotion with those words. Not just we talk about how Elvis enunciates, but he also, he'll spit it out, or he'll growl it out, or he'll cut it off, or whatever, depending on what the situation is. And Dylan would do that, too.
Well said. And I think, you know, this album also is a leap forward for his singing. I think he's got, you know, he's always had a really interesting voice, but really the command of songs was really strong here.
The songs that he wrote, especially early on, really seemed to suit his voice too. You know, the voice is like a key instrument in this group.
Absolutely.
Much more so than the guitar. As we mentioned, the guitar, you don't hear that often in his songs. Okay.
Very true.
Let's take a quick little break here, and then Mike and I are going to make a couple of picks off of this year's model. Okay, Patrick, I want to bring something to your attention.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed this, but
I am not particularly observant, so I appreciate it.
Okay. There's a thing you can do on Apple Podcasts, or used to be called iTunes, where you can rate and review podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're familiar with that part because kind of subliminally, whenever we talk about this, you're telling people what kind of rating they should give Rockin' the Suburbs.
We want the 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't follow
what
your instruction.
They must have missed that. What happened?
So I'm looking here at our iTunes, ratings, and we now have our first ever non-5-star rating.
Well, somebody didn't listen carefully to the instructions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 4-star.
Oh, okay.
So that's nice.
Close.
But
maybe they just forgot to click that 4th, 5th one or something. I don't know.
Well,
it's possible.
Could be. Maybe they were tired that day.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. So here's the thing. Actually, you know what? Giving us whatever rating you choose.
Yeah. 5 stars.
Maybe it's that. Will just really help us. So go on to the iTunes, find the Rock in the Suburbs, and then just click
5 stars.
And then that rating will really help the show.
Yes.
So please do that. And then if you get a chance to, there's also a way that you can leave a little review. You know, just write like a sentence or
something
like that. A
couple notes there. That would be great.
Whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It helps us out. It helps the show. It makes it more visible to more listeners. And as we mentioned before, it allows us to keep doing the show because, the wives will let us keep doing it.
That's right.
They see that people actually listen to it.
And it also brings you a tremendous amount of good karma.
That's right.
Which you always need.
All right. Now, let's get back to this show.
Okay.
Okay, we're back. I need to take a sip of this. What is it called again?
Hopwork Orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to have your mouth pried open to drink it constantly.
Milk plus.
Mm. So, Patrick, I mentioned this before the break about the attractions and sort of how tightly they play.
Uh-huh.
And just, I mean, how we found these guys and put this band together.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So let me make my pick here.
Okay.
It's a song that I think really showcases, what great players they are. How do you play the bass that fast?
I don't know.
How do your fingers not fall off?
Amphetamines may be involved. I have no idea.
That's insane, isn't it?
It's beautiful, yeah. And that intro drum beat there, too, with the tom-toms and the snare drum is just incredible, yeah. Sometimes I almost feel just like a human being. That's another classic Elvis line.
It has great lyrics, that song, too. That song
really
is Lipstick Vogue.
Lipstick Vogue. Amazing song.
It really is.
Side two.
And when you talk about that, shows one other side of this band. This pick that I have shows a totally different side of the band because they have a different groove. Check this out. It's called The Beat.
We're out going on a summer holiday. Vigilantes coming out to follow
I'm not sure what all I was singing about there. I think it has something to do with self-flagellation, but I just like the groove.
Well, coming as it does right before Pump It Up, that may be accurate. Yes.
But it basically, I mean, you said, Jim, how tight the band is. I mean, that's as tight as it gets, too. It's just a different type of song.
Totally true. And, you know, as we've been saying, I think, all week so far, listen to the verse of that song. There's no guitar being played at all. It's just the bass, that floaty keyboard piece, and the drums.
And one of the things, you know, Mike and I just saw Elvis Costello a couple of weeks ago at Wolf Trap here in Northern Virginia. And by the way, thanks to your friend Phil. I want to give him a shout out because he was the one who gave me the ticket to go.
Big Phil.
So that was great. But, you know, that's one of the things I noticed about him playing live to this day. He wears the guitar, he strums it a little bit, but you don't really hear much guitar.
It's a little filler, a little adding to the essence of what's going on, but it's not front center.
It's not his thing. And to this day,
a little counterstroke maybe in a reggae style, but that's about it.
Yeah. And he doesn't have like a second guitarist on stage, any of that. It's still just three guys. It's not one of the guys is different. It's no longer Bruce Thomas on bass.
Yeah.
He has a new bassist. But the other two from the Attractions, Steve and Pete, are still playing with him to this day. And they're really tight, you know, same kind of deal. He likes to keep it that small core, you know, of musicians. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but the beat. I mean, that's a great tune.
It is.
And let's just run down again, you know, some of the songs on this year's model, which, by the way, we didn't mention the name of the album, which is kind of a reference to one of the songs on here, the second song,
This Year's Girl.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also really just already like a commentary on the music industry, right?
Yeah.
And sort of a self-knowing thing that,
exactly,
like, you know, I might be, you know, hopefully this will be a big hit. I might be hot right now, but, you know, I would just be this year's model.
This is my product. That's what I was requested to put out at this point.
Yeah, so. And it's got the very iconic cover also of Elvis behind the camera there, you know, as if he's sort of photographing this year's model, which I always thought was pretty clever. You know, I think that song, you got Little Triggers here on side one, too.
Pump It Up. I mean, Pump It Up is a classic, too. That got a great crowd reaction.
Yes. I mean, those two, think about the first two albums, and then you got on there two sort of stone cold alternative radio, you know, classics in Pump It Up and Allison, you know, and this dude's done two albums within 8 months, and he's written two that are going to last, you know, people instantly recognize those songs. Yeah, Lipstick Vogue. Lip Service is a great song on side two.
Yes.
You know, that kicks in. Hand in Hand is there, Living in Paradise. It's a really complete collection. And I think, you know, as Mike said, I think that, you know, the three we've played so far do showcase kind of the different moods and timbres, but it's all real driving and it's all real sharp and real powerful.
Well, and getting back to, you know, Mike picking the beat here, you know, maybe, you know, you and I have been gravitating more to like the Angry Young Man kind of stuff, right? But one of the great things about this album, and like My Aim Is True, is just, you know, the varied styles of the songs. And that's what makes it a great album, I think, is it's not just one thing. It's a lot of stuff that goes in this. You can tell, you know, he was sort of described as sort of a, in the same way as Springsteen, kind of a rock encyclopedia. Like he could pull all these different influences in because he was so studied as a music fan, you know, and as an artist, right?
Yeah, and I think, as Mike said, his dad giving him that background in the big band and all those other kinds of music hall songs, he had that in his DNA as well as the pub rock and the singer-songwriter stuff.
Okay, so let's just do some closing business.
Okay.
We're going to play one more song here. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and all this week is Elvis Costello Week, and we're going to be talking about his other albums in the coming days this week.
Armed Forces tomorrow.
Armed Forces tomorrow. So that means you should listen to the show.
Every day.
And you can find it on the big podcast platforms. And you can also visit our website, which is suburbspod.com, and find all the shows there, all the past shows as well.
When Patrick show remembers notes. To update it.
Yeah. And also, if you want to talk about Elvis Costello and tell us what you think of these albums or any of his work,
please do.
The best thing to do is call the Suburban Party line and leave a message there, and then we can put your voice on an upcoming show. That number is 612-440-1984. And we have a little jingle.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party line.
And you can also, if you don't like to call, you don't want to call, you can write us an email. That is rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at suburbspod.
Yep.
Okay. So, closing out here, there was a song that I think we all agreed on that we just really like.
We all kind of mentioned it.
From this year's model. Not to make things too complicated, but I discovered this song actually from an album called Taking Liberties, which I think we mentioned already, which was a sort of an outtakes, B-sides, you know, album that was...
Odds and Sods.
Yeah.
Dead Letter Office.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Was put together and released in 1980, but this song was actually recorded for this year's model and was on the UK version of the album. And so now I think if you buy the album or stream it or whatever, it's now included in the US as well. We talked about the guitar as not being all that prominent in Elvis Costello's music, but this one I think is an exception. This I think has one of the most underrated guitar riffs of all time. It is so cool. It also has some of that reggae influence that we talked about before, but I just love this riff. It's one of those things that I find myself just like sometimes just out of nowhere, this riff just popping into my head.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's just so awesome.
Fantastic.
The song is I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea. And so we'll play out with that. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Snyder.
And thanks again, Mike. And we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow. Box sets were a big thing.
I do. Yeah. A box set of CDs would be something you would buy.
Yes.